Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. I'm Julia Cannon, and this is my co-host, Crazy Tracy Mahan. Crazy Tracy.
Got any faces?
Yeah, you're stressed out. you guys were
so stressed out at the beginning of the shows.
And you know, he was recording that whole episode of what just happened, so we're going to have to show it sometime what happens.
Yeah. poor Deb over here is like, mm-hmm. What did I sign up for?
Is this how it always is? Yeah.
Yeah.
This is normal.
Everyone knows the very beginning of the show looks like me going like this and Julia laughing at me. And
then later it's Tracy laughing at me. So
I'm going to help that guy.
Anyway. Oh, that's right. Yeah, you can't see him, the invisible man. That is our producer. Yeah, like it's good.
He's just the voice behind the screen.
Yeah, he's like the man behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great, powerful. Yes. Exactly. Anyway, so excited. So excited. Oh my gosh. Deb, it's been 2 years, hasn't it? Since I've seen you. 2 years.
Since what?
Since your level 3 class. We worked together. That was the last time I saw you. So it's almost 2 years. I mean, really?
Yeah. And almost a year since the level 3 voice training with Trace.
When you guys.
I don't know the time gone.
Anyway.
It was yesterday.
As we continue our QHHT level 3 series, this is one of our newest level 3 practitioners, all the way from New Zealand.
New Zealand.
You are the groundbreaker in New Zealand.
Yay. And so honored.
Yes, so Deb Taylor, so excited to have you here.
Very excited. Oh, yeah. So good to be here. Thank you.
There's going to be, and you know what? We do want to thank you for making the arrangements for being here. As we were talking about before, you know, it was kind of your own little marathon to make sure you got here on time. And here you are, and you look all relaxed and like sundress and Julia and I are like, okay.
And maybe stressed out.
You, Deb, I want to be like you.
So, to be honest, I probably had about 2 hours sleep because we had a sleepover last night to catch everyone else up on that. My son turned 9 years old, so we had 8 kids here last night and woke up feeling like, oh my gosh, shaky, I need some food, I need coffee to get me through this.
So what the audience doesn't know is that you're going to play that guitar behind you in a little bit and sing to us.
I don't think they want to hear that.
You never know. We should try.
But I've got a few instruments here, actually, so I can play some drums. And
Too bad you don't have the 8 kids still there. You could gather them around and everybody mm-hmm. could get an instrument.
A little jamboree.
That would be kind of fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Next time.
Very loud. Yeah.
Very loud.
Next time. You're doing this, right?
Anyway, Deb, what we want to know is all about you, because what I love to do on these shows is have everybody experience what we experienced with you and see the beautiful person that you are and know that your journey of coming into QHHT, but just your whole journey of, you know, metaphysics, whatever it is, what brought you into all of this line, and because were you always into it, or were you...
Do you want to know my life story?
Yes, please. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's start at the beginning.
At the beginning. Would the beginning be before, like when I was doing my life review and deciding to come here?
If you're aware of that, absolutely.
Yeah, let's just take it all the way back, because, you know, and if you have a number, a count of how many lifetimes you had prior to this one would be helpful.
Okay, so about 70,000 lifetimes before this. I haven't traveled back to all of them yet, but some of them. Yeah. And it's only through the work of QHHT that I've realized more, as many of us do, our purpose here, and or part of it anyway, and there's so much more to be uncovered, which I'm discovering a lot more in the last just the last few months, things have been absolutely crazy. But and I'm feeling like that's been the case for everyone, where there's been even more life-changing, like full-on life-changing things happening with this, the synchronicities of life all unfolding, people starting to really move into the flow of life all of a sudden, of just mm-hmm. being in this complete creativity and joy and love, and this part of the mind, that ego or Mr. S or whatever we want to call it, is dissolving in so many people.
Wonderful. And
I'm not sure whether it was more that's happening more for myself, so that's the frequency and the vibration that I'm seeing in everyone else is a reflection of me, right. Which has been amazing.
Yeah.
Really feeling like
kind of over there in a little slice of heaven anyway, being in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you guys better be waking up over there. You got to prepare heaven for the rest of us.
Yeah, yeah, now, working on it.
Yeah, you said something really important there, and that's what I really want people to understand. That it's like, you know, everybody's a reflection of me. So, mm-hmm. you know, can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, it is. You know, our frequency, our vibe attracts our tribe. You know, we hear it all the time, and we can know it intellectually. But then when it's actually happening in your day-to-day life and every single person you come into connection with is so high, they're high on life, they're starting to be in this flow, all that consciousness is contagious. It's been my thing lately. Consciousness is contagious. I have to be mindful of where my consciousness is, because I know it's getting into everyone else's, it's planting seeds everywhere. So it's the reflection and being noticing everyone coming along to me is for me, and it's a lesson for me, and it's all about me, you know. But then it's all about the other person and about them and about them and about them as well, and knowing that it's all perfect. Mm-hmm. These yeah. massive realizations lately, again, knowing it and always saying that, but then now living that life is perfect.
Yeah, that's the fun part. I could call it a challenge, but if we want to stay, you know, I mean, it's all doable. It may be a little tricky sometimes, but that's like you're saying, you'd be mindful about it. It's just, it's walking the walk, you know, now it's walking that talk and doing it, you know, mm-hmm. We know these things. Now put the little feet on it.
Yeah.
And that gave me an image. I like that, the little feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I call it Soul Logic. My I guess my name for doing this work of QHHT is Soul Logic. That's what kept coming to me when I first started with it, because it really is logic of the soul. So different, almost opposite to the human logic, as we call it. And now it's actually coming into that space of, this is absolutely logical in every single sense of the word. Everything that's unfolding and everything we're doing is making so much sense now. It's like, oh, so all the pieces of the puzzles are starting to connect. Again, just in the last few months. But have you guys noticed that?
Oh, yeah. It's a journey. An adventurous journey.
Even more in the last couple of months, or is it always like that for you?
Good. Well, I think it's everyone's individual journey of evolving. And then also we have, you know, the global events going on that are kind of helping us all get there a little bit faster. So I do think it's been really highlighted in the last few months. I know the information coming in around the sessions that I've been doing is that, you know, it's to look at, don't look at everything going on in the planet like it's something bad that's happening, or this group that's against this group or anything like that. It's all of it is purging the energy, the lower vibrations of the planet, and it's got to go through something. So it comes up and comes through us, and we're reflections of that. And so it's been kind of mind blowing. So yeah.
Kind of mind blowing. Yeah. Yeah.
But from what you're saying, okay, as these things come up, because that's what we're probably all noticing, are things that it may be things that are not pleasant to some, or there were. And I think that's what it was bringing this stuff up so we would look at it, deal with it, and be able to move forward. And when you do things like that, you have no choice but to shift. And yeah, everything has to change. Yeah. And that could be what you're talking about. It's as a global consciousness, we're doing that. You know, we have to look at it. It might not be pretty, but we're doing it.
Yeah.
Like it or not.
We're getting to the point where we are doing it as that mass collective, as well as on our individual journeys. Have you noticed that a lot of people are also becoming more and more aware that they are the one purging the ancestral karma or lineage and getting rid of the ancestral stuff along those lines too? Is that coming up?
You mean in the sessions?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm finding there's a lot more people coming, more and more and more inquiries coming, who are already at that quite awoke stage, if we want to call it that. The questions that they're coming with are so different compared to a year ago. And maybe it's my whole manifesting, the type of clients that are coming that I used to do. And I would definitely get that when Julia first talked to us through our marketing and the level two. And I started using that of calling in, okay, who is my ideal group of clients and stuff. And then in the last year, it's really been, okay, I want to keep this work inclusive for all, everyone's to come, whoever's meant to be coming. But it is a variety of humans that are already very much on the path. They're not coming just for their own healing, physical healing, like I used to always get. It was more around the physical disease, discomforts within their personal life. And now it's more curiosity questions, wanting to know more about themselves, their patterns, their purpose here. And like, there's always been that question, what is my purpose? But it's more so, how can I evolve consciousness on this planet Earth, than rather than how can I
a collective
get answers to my physical healing kind of thing. It's a lot of people are not coming as much for just physical healing, because that's kind of just tagged on. If there is, it's like, even if we don't need to go through and do the body scan, which I'll always do anyway, because they don't have anything up with them, we will. And then there's always something else there that's bringing up a message for them in their physical, emotional, energetic body anyway, that has been niggling at them, but they may not have noticed because their consciousness has expanded so much in the last year or so with this, like you were saying, with that separation that had to happen, that's been happening, and then going through that wave and coming out the other side of it and going, wow, that was all perfect the way it was, and now we're still in the middle of it, still going to be going on for some time, but we could see it for actually the good of it all and what is.
So, very cool.
Yeah.
So
my path into QHHT, I do this. I go off on tangents.
Were you always into metaphysics, spirituality, like from a young age? I mean,
it's a long story. I guess we've got some time, but so I was born the second child, and they noticed when I was about four that I was partially deaf, that my hearing, my speech, I wouldn't speak. I don't know whether you might call me a selective mute these days, but I really wouldn't talk. And the words that I would speak, only my sister, who was a year and a half older than me, could translate for me. We'd always been kind of telepathic as kids, just with each other. We'd know whatever each other were thinking. And now I find that with any really close friends, I know exactly what they're thinking. They know what we say. We answer each other's questions before they've been asked, sort of thing, which is cool. And I'm realizing I'm starting to trust that a lot more with other people as well, as that kind of psychic development is happening, which is more just the trust in this part of my mind. So as a child, there was that partially deaf. They didn't really know what it was. I don't think we had any answers physically to what it was, it started coming right. I remember always feeling very, very alone and like I didn't want to. I don't remember much of my childhood, but I remember the feelings that I had a lot, that I just didn't really want to be here and I didn't fit in. I remember sitting on the bus going to school, primary school a lot, and just thinking I was the only one, what we would say now, the only one with a soul, the only one that's actually got feelings and emotions. And I would be able to slow everything down and play with it as a child, and where I would just see everything happening in slow motion and emotionless, like I was watching a movie, and it was all just like I was the observer to it all, and I would just completely disconnect. I used to feel like I could make myself go invisible a lot too. as a child, I would just really think nobody could see me.
Wow.
Wish I play around with that now.
Yeah, do it now. Do it now.
Go say this.
I love it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've started playing around with it a bit more in the last couple of years as well, with going invisible or just raising yourself enough to a vibration that only maybe children can see you.
Yeah.
Or, Oh, sounds a bit woo-woo, doesn't it?
Well, not to us. I'd like to put that out there to anybody listening. This is absolutely possible. All you do, it just means you're in a different frequency than everybody else. And so play with that. Play with it. Just change your frequency and see if you notice. If you notice that all of a sudden people don't see you.
Someone told me once about trying it at the supermarket. So I do that quite a bit, you know, where there's all sorts of people around and usually children, and they're kind of bored and they're just looking around. And you, even if you're in the queue, and you can kind of raise yourself up to this point with, like, I get that frequency adjustments. And then you might just look at a child or something and they'll look at you like, are you really there? Because no one else can see you. And it's like we've got this little bubble and we're in this whole different dimension together and no one can see. And it works, because sometimes even people bang into you and you think, oh.
In fact, isn't that one of the signs?
Yeah.
People bumping into you. It's like they don't see you. They're just running into you all the time.
Yeah. They or really you bump are. Into other things.
Yeah. Yes.
Like doors and things.
Yeah. One of my things when I noticed that I wasn't even aware of it until it was starting to happen was I was driving. And so it's not good. I wasn't doing it intentionally. Yeah. I mean, when I was driving, it's not probably not the best thing to do when you're driving. and this, like I said, I wasn't even aware. You know, it was just after the fact, and people just kept pulling out in front of me, like right in front of me, as if I'm like, and I keep slamming on brakes and stuff. And then, I'm like, gosh, it's as if they don't see me. And then somebody hit me from behind, and she just came later. I mean, this was, luckily we weren't going fast enough for it to be bad, but she hit me and she came and she goes, I didn't see you. And I'm like, that's when it dawned on me. Oh my gosh. I wasn't visible.
I had to change that frequency. No,
don't do it when driving. Yeah,
don't do it when you're driving.
But a good game of hide and seek, but not with the children, because they'll be able to see you.
Yeah, they can see you.
Yeah. So if it's awkward to do adult hide and seek, I get it, but that would still be fun.
Yeah, so that's where I was at as a... in my primary school years, early my childhood. I think it wasn't till, like, even when I started school about five, I couldn't read or write or do any of the things that most kids could do through the primary school years. I think it was when I was about 9 or 10, probably that earth landing part, which now I understand, obviously I didn't then, when I feel like I really started coming into this, onto this earth, the earth landing, and into this body and starting to accept this is where I am.
That makes sense. I mean, with what mom said and her, what, you know, a lot of times because the frequency is so high, it only parts of it can come in, and it's at about 10, somewhere in there, that the full frequency is in the body. Mm-hmm. That makes so much sense. That's probably exactly what was happening there.
Yeah. And with clients, obviously they come and they want to know about their children, and it really is, it's around about that 7 to 10 or 11 year old mark where when I'm getting told this is the earth landing, they just ride through it. It's when they're really coming out of those childhood years and mm-hmm. the frequency is adjusting more to this earth and they're actually here now. Especially with all these new children coming in now, such high frequencies.
That's a whole nother show, the children coming in now. Yeah. but, you know, that is interesting. And probably somebody listening really needed to hear that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The feeling I'm getting with that, because they really needed to understand what's going on with their child. Rather, your child is going through that transition and having a difficult time, or they're not quite there yet. And you're like, why isn't my child at this stage yet? You know, isn't that so fun that we have all these expectations. You have to be talking by this age and walking and doing this and doing that and all these little milestones, and we're tracking them. No, they're not doing that yet. They're behind. And yet they're just, you know, they're trying to get in their bodies is what it sounds like they're trying to do. And then Erica says, yeah, me. So, yeah. And I have the chat, the little chat. I'm going to say this real quick in case anyone wants to join us. On the BBS Radio on Facebook, I have us opened up there, and I'm watching the chat that's coming in. Thank you, everybody, for your comments. You're getting a lot of hellos over there, Deb. So if you want to go into that later and just kind of take a look and peek and see what people were commenting, that's great. But yeah, it's kind of fun to see what people are saying. So if you guys want to join us over there, that's how you get there. Facebook, it's BBS Radio, and we are on the live feed. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
Well, Nat, kia ora koutou katoa. Welcome to Aotearoa, where I am now. Hello and welcome to this land. Aotearoa is what we call New Zealand here. It means the land of the long white cloud.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's behind that? What does that mean?
The land of the long white cloud. There is many different Māori myths and legends. So our ancient culture here is Māori. I know you know quite a bit about the Hawaiian culture, Julia, and the Pacific Islands and stuff like that. So we're very closely connected in that way in Polynesia.
Yeah.
So I'm noticing the clouds a lot more and seeing many, many more crazy things in the clouds this year as well. I don't know whether it's just become more of a thing in this last year or so for everyone about cloud watching.
I think it's good that people are looking at the sky.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm just going to see sky in general is like the stars, the clouds, everything. It's like our eyes are going up, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, people have even, because I run retreats sometimes here in New Zealand, and I had a very high vibrational retreat where we're all like on this path, and it was more of a gathering of soul family. Yeah, and the retreat space, when we first came into it, there's like a vortex portal type thing on close to that land that quite a few of them were aware of. And they started pointing out kind of like the grey clouds that were still and not moving, and that showing the spaceships and the clouds, or that they're covered and up in that way. So ever since that, because I was like, oh, really? I've never noticed it so much. And now I'm seeing them everywhere.
Yes.
Is anyone else seeing all these spaceships like being covered by clouds that aren't mm-hmm. moving?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's like, why are we all talking about this? Because they're everywhere.
Yeah, some really interesting things happening in the skies lately too, and people witnessing stuff more and more I think it's always been there. It's just that as we become aware of it, now we see it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of that Peter Pan thing. You have to believe you know, you believe it, you start seeing it, you start understanding it, and you start noticing it. And when I was in Idaho, we were watching the stars, and there was this light that was coming across, and it was moving. It didn't seem like it was up in the stars, but it was up there close. So we thought, well, that could be an airplane because that was so bright. And we're just watching it and chatting, and we're thinking it was a commercial airline, right? All of a sudden, it just disappeared.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh my goodness, what the heck? How did, and there was no clouds. It was just all stars and clear skies. And it was right, just had gone past us and then just disappeared. As we're just sitting there watching it, we're like, where'd it go? And yeah, just before that had happened, there was a flash in the sky right about the same point that light had disappeared in just a few minutes later. So it was like, okay, what's going on in that spot? Like, is that a portal? Is that where they're all heading to that and then taking off? What,
probably, you know, is.
Like, what's happening there? It was pretty cool. So I encourage people, watch the sky. There's movement up there. Some of it, maybe some of it is satellites, but not all of that is satellites. Start watching.
Yeah, I saw some stuff one night that there was no explanation for. I just, it was like a whole fleet.
Oh, just like, nice.
I keep questioning, you know, I want to question the validity of it, but I don't know how to even make anything else be real of it.
Right.
Yeah, it's like.
Well, Julia, when you see them, because you're getting downloads all the time from spirit or whatever you call it, when you question it, do you get answers from that about what it is?
Yeah, now I haven't questioned that, but like if I do see, when I have sensed, because sometimes I don't see anything, I just sense it, you know, but when I have seen some things, like anybody notice the blinking stars out there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, those are craft, you know, and they're, and they, I have talked to them, I have communicated with them, and they have talked back. So, yeah, and they're really cool. Those are like, what'd they call themselves? The guardians? It was something word like that, you know, of the planet. And there's several. It's like you look and they're in a line, you know. It's like, it probably goes all around the earth. I don't know. But, yeah, they're like, we've always been here, we're going to be here. And then another time, what I got was that the one I'm communicating with is another facet of myself. And so, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And that was like, you could have knocked me down when that one came in. Oh, of course. Of course.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny because they do come in and with that information. And, you know, I was doing the channeling with Daniel for quite a while before I realized that the information came in that you are Daniel, by the way. Daniel's you.
Yeah.
It's just another incarnation that you're in, you know. We can be at more than one. And it makes sense that that's the ones you communicate with because you've got those connections.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. What about you, Deb? Do you see the ships out there in New Zealand?
Yeah. Well, more in the clouds. I was just thinking about the in December, around that 20th to the 22nd of December last year, when we went through that big paradigm shift or whatever it was called, all sorts of things, but crossing the Rainbow Bridge. Mm-hmm. And we went down to a place just south of Auckland for this whole weekend of ceremony around it. And there was just rainbows in the sky. They really were like rainbow bridges, like not like a normal rainbow. They were more like the rainbow colours, but opposite to how a rainbow's formation usually is. And we were just lying there like, can anybody else see this? I mean, this is, if anyone's asleep right now, they're now awake because you cannot explain the magic that's going on in the sky. And then the following day, we're all waiting to go into a marae, a Māori meeting place for a weekend there to speak about coming into this new earth and how we're all going to gather together and create this. And there was the sky just opened up for us, and we were just all standing going, whoa, if we need any more signs that this is perfect and exactly where we're supposed to be gathering together right now, then that's it. And I feel like that was a massive shift from that middle of December, the end of December last year, was just a quantum leap into another, like up to our 5D, our fifth dimensional reality. Yeah.
Beautiful.
I don't remember if I know what was going on last December. I don't.
Yeah. We called it the solstice sort of here, but that was the whole moving into the rain over the Rainbow Bridge, and it was supposed to be this, the whole meaning behind it.
You mean December 2020, right?
Yeah,
that was where we switched into the Age of Aquarius.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I remembered it.
Yeah, pretty massive. Yeah, so we're all, I love it how we were going off.
This is a great story about your journey.
Yeah, and we go off talking about clouds and rainbows.
I love how she's the one reeling us in instead of us taking control of this. Now take control of this interview.
It's usually my friends that have to bring me back because I'm so vata in that airspace, and I'll go off into other things. But like, okay, now come back, Deb. What you were just talking about? Oh yeah, okay, where was I? Yeah, that's one. So. A flip there. So the childhood, and then when I was I caught up quite fast in my schooling. Like once I decided to learn, I learned really fast.
Yeah. Once so you're in the body. Fast, right? Once you're in the body, you're like, okay.
Once I'd accepted, I'm here, I'm a human, and this is what I'm doing. Okay, I'll learn the human stuff if I have to. So I did that, but I didn't love school. I always wanted to look beyond everything. I was always fascinated in cultures, and I say what made people tick and pick things, and what made people sick, what made all those kind of things. So it was like, and I loved hearing life stories all the time. I just wanted to hear stories all the time. Nothing like, no, just real stories, nothing fake. You know, so I left New Zealand at 16, left home in New Zealand at 16, and went just over to Aussie, to Sydney, and was working there for a bit. I went and stayed with my grandmother for a couple of weeks until she said, you should really go and sort yourself out. So I went and got a job at 16. I was actually working in a bar. Because I've always been quite tall.
16?
Yeah. Before you had photo ID and it was all this, yeah, it was, I'd always had this real self-assurance about myself that I could do anything. And I think back and I think, was I just naive or was I actually just really courageous? I don't know. But I worked and I had flat, and so I paid my bills and all that sort of stuff for a while over in Aussie. I did my first yoga session in Byron Bay. I think I shared that with you, Julia, when I was in Byron Bay last during the February. Right. So it was really close to my heart. And I had two other flatmates there, both called Debbie.
Oh,
so
nice.
It was Red Deb, Blonde Deb, and Kiwi Deb. You can't make this stuff up, eh? It was crazy. And we all got along really well, and one of them taught me about food and nutrition, because before that I had no idea. I was eating 2-minute noodles for breakfast and stuff like that, and she was like, what about just some fruit? And like, oh yeah, okay. Like, I just hadn't had any of that sort of upbringing awareness about stuff like that.
That was one of those human things.
Yeah, it's too human.
His body needs something.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay, my body is actually responding to this. It's functioning well now. Okay. Not that I'd ever get sick or anything, but it was just, yeah, because both my parents were working full time. And so my sister and I were quite independent, quite young, and sort of sorted ourselves out most of the time. So I guess that's where that feeling I could look after myself and do anything came from. So that was a big leap of discovering yoga, discovering nutrition, how to look after myself. So that became a big fascination and study of mine for a long time.
So this is when you were taking your QHHT course that happened?
Or? No, so that was when I was 16. I'm only up to 16. Okay. I'm 43 now, so we've got a way to go.
All right. I'm glad I brought a big cup of tea. Yeah. Okay.
You can jump a few years.
Yeah.
Sum it up.
Yeah, how long have we got?
This is just lifetime number 70,000. So I'm not even to this life yet, Tracy.
So fast forward a few years, I did go back to New Zealand and I didn't want to be there. So I ended up going to Europe and traveling and backpacking, and I went through Southeast Asia. I put in ads in newspapers all over the world to do au pairing or anything that I could do where I could travel and work and just check out other places. I did travel tourism diplomas. I did a bit more study when I got back and just to learn stuff so I was more employable. Spent a bit of time over in the UK, sort of working in hospitality and traveling and a lot of partying, as you do in your 20s. Oh, mm-hmm. That was even before I was 20.
Wow. This was all before you were 20?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Is
this what you're going to tell your children later?
Yeah. I tell them now.
Okay. So you're not even 20 yet and you've traveled the world. You've gotten on this new structure of food and yoga and your
spiritual path as well. Yoga was kind of in and out, but then I still really loved socializing and partying and getting to know other people, and very just wanted to experience it all. I still do.
Like just that makes everything. Sense. Well, that makes total sense as a volunteer. That's what a lot of volunteers want to do. I'm now in the human. I want the human experience. I want to experience it all. And that makes so much sense for all the traveling and everything. It's like, I got one time here. I'm going to go.
Yeah. So. I just felt like I used to say the world is my playground. Like somebody said to me once, as a kid, the world is your oyster. Go and do what you want. Like it was my dad's friend. I was like, it's not that oyster. It's my playground. It's like everything. I can just go and play. And it just felt like I was playing all the time. Mm-hmm. Always following my heart and following what I would now call spirit. Mm-hmm. I always had wanted to know more about religion. My mum, so backtracking a bit, I used to go to church with my mum. Mm-hmm. She sort of went because it's the thing you do on Sundays, and we lived in a little village and that's what you do. And I loved Sunday school. I loved learning about the Bible and all the Jesus stories, all of that. I loved it. And I used to pray all the time. I used to feel like I was always talking to spirit. I used to call it God. Still do sometimes. God, love, spirit, soul, higher self, whatever.
It's all the same.
And so mum, being sort of Christian Anglican, she thought, okay, I don't know what to do with her, so I'll put her into a Catholic girls' school. Which was really different for me because it was way out of where I actually lived. It was beyond the little primary school, village school that I went to. I had to catch a bus to go there. I wasn't Catholic. I knew nothing about mass. So I used to get in trouble by the nuns because there was a convent on the grounds because I didn't know how to behave in maths or how to do the whole, I just get mixed up with it all. There were so many rules. I only lasted in that Catholic girls school for a couple of years, but you know, looking back, I used to think, oh, why did mum do this? When I turned up to school, I didn't even know it was an all girls school. I was like, we're all the guys, we're all the boys. So.
Of course you were.
And have fun.
Yeah.
Well, see, that makes sense for all the playing later and the traveling and everything. You have to make up for this.
Yeah. Well, I checked myself out of that school and then I went to the most multicultural co-ed school I could find on the North Shore, and I joined the culture group. I was like the only white girl just because I just wanted to experience it all and be part of it all. And I found all the other cultures so much more fascinating than, my dad's English, my mum's like 8th generation Kiwi, 9th generation Kiwi, so New Zealand. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have much of it, didn't have a big family or anything. So I just wanted to be part of everyone else's family. So had a lot of Polynesian friends growing up because I loved the way they did family and they gathered and, yeah. I just felt really accepted by them.
Cool.
Yeah. So So then,
how old are you now?
Okay, I've backtracked. That was back when I was in at like 14, 15. I used to go to church and take myself to church and was in a youth group and
nice.
Helped street kids and do all this cool
Good
stuff.
Little Catholic girl, yeah.
Yeah, no, I wasn't Catholic. I just went to a Catholic school for a bit. But, yeah, okay. But it turned me away from God, I think, for a bit. And then when I went to the co-ed school, the public school that wasn't Catholic, I then joined a non-denominational church. So it had a really good youth group and we could still do Bible study and stuff like that.
Now, you say it took you away. Now, there's got to be something that was learned from that, right? Or something that was a takeaway from being separate from it for a while and then coming back to it. What do you think you gained from that experience?
It was all the judgment and the rules and everything, which I didn't never sit right with me.
Yeah.
And then I was like, this does not feel like love. It doesn't feel like the God that I used to speak with, because that God doesn't judge. I don't want to be fearful of it or of anything, because... So then when I went into the more non-denominational part, I found that love in what we would call the Holy Spirit then, you know, because there was none of this sort of spirituality talk around there. It was all like, it was either you go to church and it's God and Christian or nothing at all. So that was the only thing that was in my awareness about anything to do with spirit or soul, or try to understand what who it was that I was always speaking with or getting guidance from.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. So jumping around about the life story, but that sort of answers your questions with that interest in metaphysics. I feel it is that that is all of that. I was always looking for signs, always asking for signs, always saying, making a deal with spirit, if I'm supposed to do this, show me something in the next 5 minutes.
so then that led you then somewhere in there, because you're getting more and more, I can tell by your traveling and everything, that you're getting more and more into your own, you know, back connected with your own thing. So then did that lead you then, like you said, you're asking for signs. So did
when did you start QHHT? 20 years on now.
Okay. I will say that it, you know, you got about 15 minutes.
Yeah. That's why I'm doing this.
So cut a long story short, I ended up job-wise, career-wise, flying as cabin crew for about 10, 12 years. I was over in the Middle East for quite a while with an airline there, which was perfect for me because I was right in Dubai, living in Dubai, so I could work and travel, had a lot of time off, got paid really well, so I could support any of the studies that I wanted to do. So I did a lot of holistic studies, iridology, nutritional therapy, Ayurveda, loads of yoga courses, teachers trainings in India. So I'd go to India a lot. I met my first like proper spiritual guru in Dubai, who was amazing. And so I just filled everything up. I just became fascinated with Hindu philosophy, Buddhism, with all that side of spirituality. And then also about the Islamic culture and all that as well, living in Dubai. So I got a taste of many different religions and spirituality and how that works, and started, you know, gathering my own sort of thoughts and feelings around all of that beyond just Christianity. So then when I decided to leave the airlines, and I literally could just not put on a uniform again, or be told how to be, I thought, right, I'm leaving, I'm going to India, I'm going to travel and just be a yoga teacher and all that sort of stuff and expand all my knowledge. And so I did quite a few like Vipassana meditation things and volunteer in those. So I really got to understand more about my own consciousness and go through all the healings of everything that needed to be healed in my childhood and all that sort of stuff. I felt like I would travel into other lifetimes, other life streams, and visit those places as well. So I always had just this knowing that it, what it was. I had never heard of Dolores Cannon or QHHC at that time. Mm-hmm. So then it wasn't till I was living in Melbourne, all this stuff happened and I travelled around a bit more after that, and then I ended up in Melbourne, and that's where I met my husband, who I'm uncoupled with now. So we co-parent our children. My son, who's just turned 9, was born there. And then my daughter, Josie, who's just turned 5, was born in Melbourne and decided to come back here. So when I was in Melbourne, a very good friend of mine who lived in Sydney at the time did her QHHT training. And I was sort of just working as yoga teaching, doing different courses and things, and a nutritional therapy with a special interest in Ayurveda. So I was very up there with the elements and how things work, and like the Vata Pitta Kapha type, all knowing those parts. And there was always that feeling of we could be eating the best foods and knowing ourselves so well, we could be doing the best yoga and exercise for our body, but there was always these things that are always coming back up and recycling in people if we're not really getting to the actual core of it. We can do all the physical and even the energetic work, but actually getting that understanding to the root core of it and knowing it so we could then heal it. So it came, the awareness of quantum healing hypnosis came along when I was pregnant with my daughter Josie, who I was speaking to a lot in spirit. She was always talking to me and telling me different things.
Right.
So when I first listened to some of Dolores Cannon's videos just on YouTube, I was like, who is this woman? How have I never heard about her? I don't understand why has she not came into my awareness before? After all of my spiritual gurus and teachers. And, and she was the one that echoed with my soul the most. Out of all of the travels.
You're just getting ready for
it. I was just going to say, you're now ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I get it now. Like if I discovered her earlier, discovered this work earlier, I wouldn't have gone through all the experiences that I needed to go through. So it's all perfect.
Yeah.
But so it's just like many people, when they first discover her, you just want to read everything and look at all the, and so I felt like I'd decided to move back to New Zealand, and I wanted my children to be brought up here in New Zealand, and that's when I was at that point where it's like I've read as much as I can, I've watched as much YouTube things on with Dolores Cannon, and I just wasn't sure how I was going to get the finances together to actually do the level one online course. And so I was like, okay, if I'm supposed to be doing this work, then I need the money. 2 days or 3 days later, so it was all the behind the scenes work that had already been happening. I had some old superannuation thing that I came in the mail and said, you can either choose to pay this into another superannuation account or into your a nominated bank account. I was like, oh my gosh, this is exactly the amount I needed to do the course.
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah. So I mean, it wasn't about money, but it was just about that sign of this is what you need.
Go in the right direction. Yeah.
Yeah. So I did the level one so quickly, and then I sort of listened to everything and then went over it again, because it was when Josie, my daughter, was a newborn.
Mm-hmm.
So I was breastfeeding and listening and just devouring all this information and just going yes. It was just a remembering and knowing of it all, and
yeah.
So I never looked back, really. I knew that was what I needed to be doing. Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. Yeah. Changed your life, didn't it?
Changed my life. Yeah. And then I think it was after I'd finished breastfeeding, I think it was perfect timing for Julia and Suzanne and everyone to be going to Brisbane for the level two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, perfect.
It was in 2017, I believe, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, gosh, 5 years ago? Yeah, 5 years ago. 4 years ago?
4 years, yeah. Yeah.
Time.
Exactly.
We've talked about that. Let's not do time anymore.
Time.
I just remember, you know, events. And I just know that was too, because I know what I was doing. I did that trip as a huge trip at the end of 2017. And that's when, yes, we met.
Yeah. And I was so star shocked. I was like, I remember when you and Suzanne walked, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we're in the same room together.
No. And I'm like, that's Erica. You were just like.
And I didn't know who Erica was, and you showed me. I was like, oh yeah, compliment. And then now I listen to her Positive Heads podcast all the time. Mm-hmm. I love her. I'm like, yes, that's exactly what I would say if I could articulate myself that well.
Oh my God, even the facial expressions. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to do a gangs all here and get everybody together and reunite the twins. Yeah. And, yeah. For those of you who want to know who Erica is, she will be our guest in June. Not you, Erica.
We may have to have you come on when she's on, and then
then we'll just have a face off there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was really funny. You know, when I wrote you and said, here's the information for the show, and you're like, oh, I thought it was on in June. And I thought, how odd is that you keep comparing her to Erica, and Erica is the one that's on in June.
Yeah. I had it written down that I was in June.
You even share a mind.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It wasn't until your email a couple of days ago. I was like, oh, that's this Saturday. Well, it's Friday night for you. It's Saturday here. Right.
Yeah.
So I think there's even more. We got to get Erica on to confirm some things, and we'll be seeing Erica in just a few days. So we can kind of, because I've got some things in my mind going, I think there's a lot of similarities here. So I need her to confirm.
I'll find out.
You probably thought, who was this weirdo? Because after Julia keeps saying that, and I level two, like, you're just like Erica Middlemass. And so then I Googled her and stalked her. No. So it was this one.
Erica's in here. She says, you are truly my doppelganger, lady. I love you. And she says, and you have a similar life story.
So. Yes, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. That's what I wanted to do. I'm sitting going, airlines.
I feel like I'm listening to her.
Erica's story. I mean, you guys, there's a lot of similarity.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Probably split apart. You're going to come together and realize you got this total soul connection. Yeah. It'll be fun. Yeah. And Judy's saying the same thing. Aspects of each other. Yep. Mm-hmm. Very much. So.
And so great.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know who Erica is yet, we will be having her on so you can do the comparison.
Hey, I just noticed the time. We've got like 2 minutes left. Oh my gosh.
Oh wow.
Okay.
And I'm worried you did love it.
Deb. So we got this whole thing. Deb, how can people find you? We want to get that in, and then we can let you say something.
I was thinking, what are we going to talk about for an hour?
I know.
Okay. So I'm soul-logic.nz. Otherwise, obviously, on the QHHT website. And I'm out of Auckland, New Zealand. In June, July, I'll be going down to Wellington. So I quite often do QHHT trips down to Wellington and just do a whole lot of sessions down there and some of the group workshops. I do a lot of the group regression workshops, you know, where we go through a past life, meet your spirit guide into the future, at a lot of the festivals around New Zealand. I'm actually putting on a festival, my own festival. Well, it's a festival for everyone called the Soul Festival. And I put this here to remind myself to plug it.
Oh, that's even a beautiful banner.
Very cool.
You know, I have to say, I haven't been self-conscious at all that we've got like these nice little plain backgrounds, and she's got these flowy curtains and this little gown and the little guitar in the background. She looks like she's in some sort of stage set. And I'm just feeling like I really need to dress up my background. I'm really liking this thing that you got going on here. Anyway,
lots of greenery, lots of plants. I need it for grounding.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'll float off.
Yeah. Don't do that. We want to keep you here.
Yeah, you know your body well. You've learned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Got it all figured out. So I need you to help us all, the rest of us, get it all figured out as well. And that's wonderful. So
something before we, because we are going to have to cut off here really soon. I always say like you have a message for everybody, you know, like a parting message. And we call that in the session, but something that you would like that from your heart that you would like.
Okay. From my heart, I just want everyone to experience it all, experience everything, the light, the dark, the full range of emotions. That's what we're here for. Like fear is no longer a thing, right? That does not exist anymore. So just go and play and enjoy it all. Don't take it all too seriously. Because when you're in that highest vibration of joy and love and creativity, that's when everything just falls into place anyway. And you find your dharma, you find your purpose, and it falls into your lap, and things, synchronicities happen, and you're in flow. So it all sounds really simple and easy because it is. It should be. We're not supposed to be, you know, struggling anymore. You know, we're coming into this new paradigm, this new earth, the 5D reality, and we can create that. So it sounds very woo-woo, doesn't it?
That's what we are, but it all comes, what I kept hearing was it is easy if you will trust it, and it's all doable if you will trust it, you know. So
I say woo-woo, Julia, because I remember you and John on our level 3 saying you are so woo-woo, Deb. You're so like completely hassling me the whole time. So I can't help it. It's just like
that's how it is. Well, we just got the cut notice, and so we have to end. So thank you so much, Deb. Love you. And thanks so much for being here.
Yeah. Aroha nui. Lots of love.
Beautiful. Wonderful. QHHTofficial.com if you guys want to find Deb or other practitioners in your area. Okay. Bye-bye,
everybody. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Mm-hmm.